some bank blowback concerning clawbacks.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. The FDIC is expected to finalize today a proposed rule that would ask for a large chunk of big bank executive pay to be paid back if that CEO's bank fails. But a lot of folks in the banking industry say the so-called clawbacks rule goes too far. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman is with us live and has the latest on that story. Good morning, Mitchell.
Hi, Steve.
Exactly what does the clawback rule say?
Well, it's part of Dodd-Frank financial reform passed last year. Now, keep in mind, the goal here is to try and make sure that top executives pay the consequences when their firms endanger the rest of us. So we're talking the biggest banks like Goldman Sachs, JPMorgan Chase. These are the ones that, if they collapsed, would pose a systemic risk to the financial system. The CEO and CFO and chairman of the board could have their whole pay and bonus package going back 2 years clawed back by bank regulators if those regulators have to take over and then liquidate the company.
Why do these banks and their lobbyists think that that's a bad idea?
Well, they say it's too vague. How are regulators going to know if a CEO's the one at fault if the company got in trouble? You know, maybe it's just a bad market for mortgages or derivatives or whatever they're investing in. Scott Talbot is with the Financial Services Roundtable, and that represents big banks.
It could lead an executive who sees a company starting to get into trouble for whatever reason to simply leave and walk away before the company fails, thus excluding him or herself from the rule.
You know, and then they get to keep their multi-million dollar pay packages. Affirming these clawback rules could be one of the last actions of FDIC Chair Sheila Bair, by the way. She steps down on Friday.
All right, Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reporting. Mitchell, thanks.
You're welcome.
ExxonMobil today said a discrepancy over how long it took to plug the leaking pipeline in Montana's Yellowstone River was an oversight. The incident has raised a lot of questions about pipeline safety, that leak. From the Sustainability Desk, here's Marketplace's Eve Tro.
Pipeline spills are different than offshore oil spills. The Department of Transportation oversees pipelines. It requires a worst-case safety plan for each one, but
all the dry runs or drills in the world aren't going to be really effective if they don't apply to the case that you actually experience.
Richard Kupervitz consults energy companies on risk. He says Exxon seems not to have accounted for heavy late spring snow in Montana. That's now melting and has the Yellowstone River rushing and flooding its banks.
We're finding too many instances where the oil spill response plans are not really effective because they didn't really address a worst-case scenario.
Prevention should be the focus, says Mike Levine at the nonprofit Oceana. Even the best cleanup plan won't get out all the crude.
We simply can't. There's going to be a lot of oil left in the ocean or in the river.
Likely 90% of what's spilled, he says. Exxon shut down the pipeline in May over fears a fast current could damage it, but then decided the risk wasn't that high. I'm Eve Tro for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. In Europe, stocks are lower after Moody's downgraded that country's government debt to junk status. Wall Street yesterday, the Dow lost 12 points to close at 12,569.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation.com, protecting online privacy by removing your personal data from the internet and stopping unwanted mail. Reputation.com. And by Indiana University's Kelley School of Business, providing a personalized approach to career advancement. Learn more at kellei.iu.edu. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
A judge in Detroit tomorrow is expected to rule on a dispute involving the Ambassador Bridge, the privately owned span that connects the U.S., Detroit, to Canada. It's the busiest international trade crossing in North America, and the two-year-old case highlights a big clash between the private sector and government. Reporter Sarah Hewlett has more.
On a recent day in Detroit, motorist Jessica Irvine has just wound her way past orange barrels and temporary signs to duty-free gas pumps at the foot of the Ambassador Bridge.
It's kind of confusing. It's a little bit of a mess right now.
The mess inside the plaza is the result, in part, of a dispute between the company that owns the bridge and the state. One of the issues is the bank of gas pumps where Irvine is fueling up. Tony Cratefill is an engineer for the Michigan Department of Transportation. He says the bridge company ignored plans that would have routed traffic past its lucrative duty-free store and gas station. Instead, travelers like Irvine are directed right through it.
You could see where if there was a lot of traffic, say on a holiday weekend or something, you got people backed up in there waiting to get gas, it's going to interfere with the flow of traffic trying to get back to the freeway.
The state and the bridge company are each responsible for a share of a $230 million construction project, which is meant to better connect the bridge and the interstate freeways on the Michigan side. The state sued the bridge company in 2009 to force it to comply with the design the two sides agreed to. A judge ruled in the state's favor, and in January, the bridge company's president was briefly held in jail for refusing to comply with the judge's order. Now, nearly half a year later, the state's asking for fines of $100,000 a day until the bridge company complies. Company officials declined an interview request, but its president, Dan Stamper, told reporters last month he's ready to put the litigation behind him.
Even though we disagree with MDOT on some of the aspects of the project, we'll complete our construction before January 12, 2012, as ordered by the court.
Stamper says the company is moving toll booths that were not in compliance with the plan and is deeding over land the state needs to complete a ramp. He'll find out tomorrow whether that's enough to satisfy a judge who's presided over 2 years of hearings on the company's noncompliance. In Detroit, I'm Sarah Hewlett for Marketplace.
And finally, researchers at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee studied a group of nearly 200 business students and how ready each was to lie or cheat to gain a competitive advantage. The study found men with wider faces were 3 times more likely to lie and 9 times more likely to cheat to get ahead. Now, the researchers say the wider a man's face, the more powerful he feels he is. And with that power, they say, comes aggressive, self-interested behavior. But the study also stresses that men with wide faces can also channel those unethical tendencies to be more constructive and successful without having to lie or cheat. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Alabama just passed a new immigration law. Word is it's even tougher than Arizona's, and local police, they are not pleased.
I think it gives us the authority to just hold a person without bond in our jail just because we suspect that they may be here illegally.
I'm Kai Rizdal. What good's a law if the police won't enforce it? That story next time on Marketplace. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.